Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
AM here at ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. It is a beautiful, finally, Friday with a lot of NCAA tournament action to not only recap from yesterday, but look at as far as today goes as well. And, man, there is a lot of things to talk about from yesterday in the tournament. Whose bracket is still good? Anybody? Bueller, is yours still good? Maybe only tripped up once or twice. I would like to single-handedly thank the ACC for busting my bracket within the first six games. Appreciate it, Louisville. Appreciate it, Clemson. And then some SEC teams got involved yesterday, and I've seen people talk about, well, is it time to have the conversation that the SEC is overrated? No, because the teams that lost yesterday were the lower-seeded teams in the SEC, right? Auburn won. Tennessee won. We get Alabama and Florida playing today. They should win their games, right? So, I mean, when you look at it, you've got Tennessee won, Auburn won, Alabama's going to play today, Florida will play today, Kentucky will play today. I believe Kentucky will play today. They may play within the next day or two, but I believe I'll have to – we'll talk about the games coming up later on today. But, I mean, just kind of running through some of these teams that you have playing today. Like I said, Alabama from the SEC playing today. Ole Miss expected to play North Carolina today. Florida playing on Norfolk State today. Kentucky's taking on Troy, who we saw win the Sun Belt just a couple of weeks ago here at the Pensacola Bay Center. Oklahoma going to be taking on UConn. That's actually expected to be a pretty good game, despite UConn being the back-to-back national champions in college basketball. So you've got several SEC teams that are going to have an opportunity at winning games today. And even Mississippi State is playing Baylor, and they're actually favored by a very slim margin, just 1.5 points in that one, but they're still favored in it. So, I don't think it's time before we get into the games. I don't think it's time to write off the SEC just yet, because when you go over what happened yesterday, right, when you look at the teams that lost, first and foremost, I think Arkansas beating Kansas is actually a feather in the favor of the SEC's cap. Then you look at some of these other games. Yes, Drake beating Missouri is a bad look for the SEC, but Missouri was kind of one of those middle-of-the-pack SEC teams. Then you also have a couple of other SEC teams that just did not perform well. Texas A&M, 80-71 win over Yale. I said yesterday Yale was going to keep that game a lot closer than most people expected. Yale's a good shooting team. They were going to have an opportunity to keep that game close. A&M still got the win, though. Kind of going through some of these games, and we'll kind of get more into depth with these in just a second. I think if there's going to be a game that you point at and go, well, that was embarrassing for the SEC, it's got to be Georgia against Gonzaga. And let's just go ahead and we'll start with that game, recapping yesterday's action before we take a look at any of the other games from yesterday and move on to today. We're also going to be looking at yesterday's opening day, and we're going to be talking about some winners and losers. So today's show is really going to be NCAA tournament heavy. So if you're not an NCAA tournament fan, if you're not a basketball fan, I apologize, but today's show, we're going to kind of take a break from free agency talk and all of that stuff. We're going to talk some basketball. We may try to fit in some free agency towards the end of the show, but right now we want to focus on the tournament and everything happening there. Georgia just getting annihilated, 89-68 by Gonzaga yesterday. And I said, if Georgia is going to win this game, Mike White was going to have to get out of his own way. And he didn't do that. It was the same stuff we expect from a Mike White coach team. Either they get blown out, or they choke and lose a big lead. There is no in-between with Mike White, right? Either they get blown out like they did yesterday against Gonzaga, or they come out and they build up a 14, 15-point lead, and you think that they're actually going to do something, and then within the last 8 to 10 minutes of the game, they choke away the lead and ultimately lose. It's just what happens when you have Mike White as your basketball coach. I mean, think about it. When he took this job at Georgia, he was still the head coach at the University of Florida, right? And he takes this job at Georgia, and he notifies Florida officials. He goes to Scott Strickland and the rest of the athletic administration, and he tells them, hey, Georgia offered me a job. Here's what they're offering. There was no attempt to match from the Gators. You know what that tells me? That tells me they were done with him. They washed their hands of him. They moved on. And from the look of the way this team is playing this year for Florida, it was the smart move. So when I look at what happened yesterday with Georgia and Gonzaga, it's exactly what you kind of expected from Georgia. They were either going to come out really hot and build up a lead and ultimately collapse, or they were going to get dominated from the start like they did in this game. Georgia had 13 turnovers that Gonzaga turned into 25 points. You can't do that in a regular season game and expect to win, let alone a game in the NCAA tournament. You just can't do it. 13 turnovers and 25 points? You can't do that. Going back to the UNC-San Diego State game, similar numbers there in favor of UNC. You can't do that and expect to win. That's why San Diego State got blown out, and that's why Georgia got blown out. I mean, think about it. They lost by 19 points. They gave up 25 points on turnovers. Limit some of those turnovers down, and it's actually a closer ball game than what it actually ended up being. Those turnovers and the points off of the turnovers were massive. That's why when you hear coaches talking to their teams all the time, what is two things that they say the most? Rebound the ball and protect the rock. Don't turn it over and secure rebounds, whether it's offensive or defensive. Secure those rebounds and protect the ball. Protecting the ball is universal in any sport where you can have a turnover. Even in hockey, protecting the puck. You don't want to turn it over. You don't want to create, you know, odd man situations to where your opponent has the manned advantage going down the ice. Or, God forbid, it's a breakaway and he's got a one-on-one with the goalie. All he's got to do is a couple of deeks and pop it up over his shoulder or pop it in that five hole between his pads. Any sport where you can have a turnover, the coaches always insist, protect the ball, protect the puck, whatever it is. Georgia didn't do that last night. 13 turnovers off of 25 points. You're not going to win if that's the numbers you're putting up. It's not. If you give up 20-plus points off of 13 turnovers and you lose by 19, or excuse me, lose by 21, I don't know why. I did the math there wrong for a second. It's 21, not 19. But still, you give up 25 points, limit those turnovers. You take five of those turnovers that led to points off the board. All of a sudden, we're talking about a different game. Gonzaga may still win, but it's a little bit closer of a game, and Georgia has a better opportunity. But now, Gonzaga gets to move on. They're in the round of 32. I hesitate to say they get a prize in going to play Houston because that's going to be a very tough game for Gonzaga as a 8th seed. But it should be a fun matchup. I think that could actually have the potential of being a pretty good matchup to watch and pretty entertaining there in the round of 32. Some of the other games from yesterday, by the way, you're listening to The Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. You look at Arkansas and Kansas. This was a game that not a lot of people saw coming. I think there was a lot of people surprised by the final score of this game because Arkansas was really kind of one of those teams that was up and down, looked really good for a couple of games, then they would just look bad for another couple of games. Then they would look okay for a couple of games, looked really bad for a few games. They were very streaky throughout the season. But I will tell you what, the game plan that they had yesterday was fantastic. They came out early in the first half, shooting over 50% from the field. There just really didn't seem any kind of stop from Kansas, and it didn't seem like Arkansas could miss the ball. Seems like any shot they threw up went into the net. And then the second half rolls around, and Kansas has to kind of change their game a little bit. They switch it up and play zone. And for the most part, throughout the second half, the zone does work, but eventually an opening creates itself, and Arkansas uses that to start a 15-3 run and pulls away within the last 3 minutes or so of the game, ultimately winning this one by a final score of 79-72. And I will say, I don't know if getting Kansas to go to zone was designed, but when you take a team and you make them play a type of defense that they've only done a handful of times over the course of the season, that's pretty smart if you ask me. It is very smart if you ask me. Because Kansas, yes, like I said, early on they had success, but as the game went on, they started to kind of wear down a little bit. That's when the holes started showing, and Arkansas was able to take advantage of that. So having Kansas switch to a defense that they weren't necessarily fully familiar with running that zone, definitely played into Arkansas's advantage late in that game. Let's head to the phone lines now. Caller, how's it going?
Hey, Jordan Glass. How you doing, brother? It's Ronald.
I'm good, Ronald. How are you, buddy?
Dude, I'm excited. I used to watch the tournament a lot when I was younger, but with this parity that the NIL and the transfer portal has created, dude, this is what the madness truly is. I watched a little yesterday. I went to school last night, so I watched a little last night. Every team that I saw had an NBA player. Dude, I didn't know Jonell Davis had transferred over to Arkansas with Coach Cal. I'm loving this. This is what the madness is. Anybody can win, dude. This single game elimination, I'm loving the tournament, brother.
Ronald, man, what was your favorite game that you did get to see yesterday?
Let's see. I was watching the game last night and I fell asleep. It was the UCLA game. That's the last game I remember. Like I said, I had to go to school last night. So, yeah, that's the last game that I can remember. But, man, from the play that I saw, I think I may have seen some of the Gonzaga game, I think, man. These guys are really good. And like I said, dude, the parity is unbelievable. Anybody, I've never seen it like this.
No, Ronald, you're absolutely right, man. And I think that's why we are seeing teams like McNeese and Drake. They're putting up a fight, and they're not only putting up a fight, but they're winning their games too, man. I really do think that, you know, as much as we complain about NIL with football, I think it is creating a scenario where I think you put it perfectly, man. There's a lot of parity in the NCAA tournament now, and it's only making it better.
Yeah, and big shouts to the SEC. We see where the true athletes of the country come from, brother. Big shouts to the SEC.
There we go. Hey, Ronald, appreciate the call, buddy, man. You have a great Friday. You have a great weekend if we don't hear from you later on in the show as well, buddy. We appreciate it every time you call. But, yeah, Ronald's absolutely right. NIL, the parity, the allowing guys to transfer, you know, even if it is following a coach like Coach Cal. And, I mean, who wouldn't want to follow a coach like Coach Cal, right? If he leaves Kentucky, going to the Arkansas job, if there's an opportunity for you to follow him to Arkansas, yeah, you take that. And I think that was another benefit, by the way, going back to that Arkansas-Kansas game. I said yesterday on the show, you don't go against Pitino, anybody named Pitino, especially the Pitino, the godfather of the Pitino family, you don't go against any of them in March or April. You also don't go against anybody named Calipari in March or April. I know he's got the stigma around him of he doesn't necessarily do good in those months. His teams tend to underperform in those months. But still, he's one of those coaches that if you are on his side of the bracket and there's a chance that you've got to line up and play him, it's not going to be an easy game for you. Even if you win it, it's not going to be an easy win. It's going to be something you have to go out there and earn. So I think Ronald absolutely hit the nail on the head there talking about the parity and how it's created this tournament that's even more entertaining. If we didn't think it could get any more entertaining, It is. And, I mean, we have games like I said, McNeese, 69-67 win over Clemson. Coach Wade, actually, after the game, I thought this was a great thing that he pointed out. He said, you know what, last year we were here. And, by the way, when did McNeese drop the state from their name? Weren't they McNeese State at one point? I saw somebody on Barstool talking about that, and I was like, that's actually – they're right. Weren't they McNeese State at one point? Now they're just McNeese. But anyways, I digress. For McNeese, this win, last year when they got to the tournament, Coach Wade talked about it. He said, look, we were kind of in awe of being in the NCAA tournament. This is the NCAA tournament. This is, you know, when you think of top sports events, top sports tournaments in the world, right? You're thinking of things like the Masters, all of this stuff where it's a tournament-style event. The NCAA tournament is right there at the top of that list. And he said that his McNeese team was a little in awe of it last year, that they showed up kind of enjoying it a little bit more than they maybe should have, and they weren't focusing on business. And he said, this year, we showed up to the NCAA tournament standing on business. We were here to win. This was not a – we were here to be a speed bump for Clemson onto the round of 32. We were here to win. We came here with business in mind, and, man, did they do it. This game started out great, 6-6 tie early. I think probably a lot of people were looking at this game going, all right, 6-6 tie early on. Clemson will get into a groove and kind of settle down, and they'll pull away. And they were wrong, because it was McNeese that settled into a groove and pulled away. We went from a 6-6 tie to a blink of an eye. McNeese had a 31-13 lead. Clemson tried to come back. You know, they tried. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. But at the end of the day, McNeese is just too good for them. They'll go on to take Purdue in the round of 32. So that should be that's going to be an interesting matchup right there, right? I love the mentality of this McNeese team. To hear Coach Wade come out and say, we're here for business. This is not a joy trip, right? We're not here to, you know, get the swag and get the free NCAA t-shirt merchandise and things like that. And, you know, to get all the wonderful things that, yes, they do get. But that's not why they're there. They're there to compete for a championship, and this team is locked in and focused on that. So when they take on a very, very, very good Purdue team who is sitting there, let's see, what seed is Purdue? I'm trying to find them here on the bracket I have in front of me. They're going to be taking on a 4-seed Purdue team. You know, at times against High Point, looked a little susceptible, ultimately ended up pulling out that win. But again, you know, it's going to be very fun to watch this McNeese State team. See, there I go, call them McNeese State. It's going to be very fun to watch this Cowboys team take on Purdue in the round of 32. How about Drake knocking off Missouri? This is the first win for anything named Drake in quite some time. I'm sorry. I had to take the shot. I had to take the shot. No offense to any Drake fans out there. It's just jokes. It's all jokes and all love here at the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola. And if you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. Again, that number, 850-623-1330. But seriously, though, big win there for Drake. Missouri had the size differential, right? Like, the size advantage went to Missouri. But Drake somehow outscored them in the paint 38-22. And really, that was the difference in this game. Drake dictated the pace of play from start to finish. They were in control from start to finish, and they dominated inside the paint despite that size difference. And like I said, point differential there, 38-22, and they'll now take on Texas Tech. So that's going to be an interesting game there in the West as Texas Tech and Drake will face off. And, of course, the winner of that will have the opportunity to take on the winner of Arkansas and St. John. How about that game, right? Calipari versus Patino? Are you kidding me? Sign me up for that for sure. Some of these other games that we had yesterday, Tennessee and Wolford. Tennessee ends up coming out on top 77-62. Probably would have thought Wolford would have, you know, kind of not held their ground as much as they did. And honestly, if the talent discrepancy wasn't what it is between these two teams, you could very well have seen Wolford actually pull off the upset there and beat Tennessee. But Tennessee just too good, too strong, too fast, too physical, too pretty much everything, which is the same thing we saw with Alabama State and Auburn. Alabama State actually hung in there. Give credit to the Hornets. They hung in there. It was close. At first half, it was a nervous sideline. for Auburn. You know, Bruce Pearl pacing a little bit more than he normally does on that sideline for the Tigers. But eventually, again, like I said, with Tennessee, just too big, too fast, too strong, too everything. Auburn ended up pulling it out and getting a big win there, 83-63, so a 20-point win for them. SIU, Edwardsville versus Houston. Yeah, that game went about the way you thought it would. 38-point win there for Houston, 78-40. They will move on to take on Gonzaga. We've got Omaha and St. John's. I've already kind of tipped the bit that St. John's won this game. 83-53 win there for the Fighting Rick Pitinos, as they will head on now to take on Coach Cal and the Arkansas Razorbacks, which is still weird for me to say, by the way, the whole Coach Cal and the Arkansas Razorbacks. My mind just automatically wants to go Coach Cal and the Kentucky Wildcats. But no, he's the Arkansas Razorbacks, and that's it's paid off for them. They are looking pretty good in the tournament so far. Wisconsin takes on Montana. They got a win there, 85-66. They'll take on BYU in the round of 32. Texas Tech, UNC Wilmington. Texas Tech getting the win, but UNC Wilmington kept it a little closer than a lot of people probably thought. 82-72 ends up being the final score there. Purdue, like I said, advances against High Point, but High Point was a pesky team yesterday. All right, they were definitely a thorn in the side of Purdue for sure. Texas A&M taking care of Yale. They'll move on to take on Michigan. That's going to be a tough game for the Aggies, as Michigan had a tough game of their own. UC San Diego, a 68-65 win for the Wolverines in that one. So we'll see what kind of happens. A lot of people are looking at that Michigan team as being that first team. Michigan or Texas A&M, whoever wins this game, could be that first team to really kind of challenge Auburn in the Sweet 16. So we'll see how it plays out. Let's take our first time out of the show. When we come back, more of the Glass Half Full right after this.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk is the place to go to watch your favorite NCAA March Madness game, along with great live entertainment. NCAA March Madness can be viewed from 18 different TVs March 18th through April 7th. They'll have bucket of beer specials and NCAA basketball with a view of beautiful Pensacola Beach. It's Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Find them on Facebook and check them out online at BambooWillies.com for more details.
The Big Bamboo!
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
925 here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Welcome back into the Glass Half Full. I am your host, Jordan Glass. You want to be a part of today's show, you can definitely do that. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Getting back into it here, sticking with the NCAA tournament. Want to talk some winners and losers from yesterday's opening day of the NCAA tournament. We'll start it off here with one of our winners, and that's McNeese. Again, a big win for McNeese as they are victorious in their game over Clemson, 69-67. Again, really impressive there early on to take that 6-6 tie and turn it into a 31-13 lead. And, you know, it's the first time in program history that, you know, McNeese being a mid-major is actually going to advance into the NCAA tournament. They won their first NCAA tournament game ever yesterday with that win over Clemson. And, you know, Coach Wade, everybody knows what he did in his time at LSU. How, you know, that was a good program when he was at LSU. Now he's at McNeese, and not only does he have this team moving in the right direction, but they win their first ever NCAA tournament game yesterday against an ACC staple in Clemson. So congratulations to McNeese. Definitely a winner for sure of day one. Kansas, one of our losers. This was a game that a lot of people had Kansas heading to the Sweet 16, if not the Elite Eight, in their bracket. A lot of people just kind of moved them over to that far just because they're the Kansas Jayhawks, right? It's kind of like one of those things, like when we talk about football, you tend to give a little bit more weight to an Alabama or an Ohio State in the college football playoff because, well, that's just who they are. Kansas is the same way with men's basketball in the tournament. Just like with on the women's side, we have UConn and South Carolina. It's just that's just who they are. That's where they're used to being. But Kansas, with that early loss to Arkansas yesterday, 79-72, they're going to be heading home to watch the rest of the tournament. So they are definitely a loser in the tournament for sure. And it's just it's another season for Kansas where they start with the number one ranking, and you know ultimately it ends before they get to the Sweet 16. So Kansas is not necessarily having the best recent history in the NCAA tournament. They're not necessarily having the best time there, as they've had a couple of early exits here within the last recent history. Loser, again, Louisville. And again, it sounds brutal saying loser. Loser. But, you know, we're still trying to be very gentle because I understand these fan bases, you're hurting. Your team got eliminated. I understand. It sucks. It stinks. So we're trying to be gentle. But, again, this segment is winners and losers. So a loser from yesterday's opening day of the NCAA tournament, it's got to be Louisville. I mean, that game against Creighton was – look, it was the first game. It was the first game of the NCAA tournament, and my bracket was busted at halftime because of the way Creighton was playing yesterday. Pat Kelce comes in, you know, supposed to turn things around, and you know what? In all accounts, year one was a pretty good year for him. You know, it was they went from being one of the worst teams to actually being in the NCAA tournament under Pat Kelce. So credit to them for that. But still, they just could not get off the mat against Creighton yesterday. They were punched in the mouth early on, fell to the mat, and just could not get back up and put up together any kind of fight. Seems like every time they tried to go on some type of run, there was a turnover, or there was a penalty, or there was something that put an end to it, or just a bad decision on the offensive side for Louisville that led to Creighton taking advantage of it and flipping that run. So in a run that was supposed to have been for Louisville and helped them out, something happened, and Creighton would be the team going on the run. And we saw that happen multiple times in this game. They trailed by as many as 20 at one point and ultimately ended up losing 89-75. This game, like I said, it was the first game of the day, and my bracket was busted by halftime in this game. Louisville had no chance at all in winning this game. Some of our other winners and losers from this past weekend, we do have Purdue as a winner. Purdue getting a win there in a 75-63 win over High Point. Like I said, High Point was a thorn in their side for sure. Coming into this game, you thought the Boilermakers were going to have an opportunity to run away with this. You thought Purdue was maybe going to have a final score much like Auburn or, you know, or Houston or Tennessee did, where it was a double-digit win. That, yeah, okay, maybe in the first half it was a little close, but ultimately they just flexed their muscle in the second half and pulled away and won with ease. That was not the case. Purdue was in a dogfight all game long yesterday against High Point, and we talked about it before leading into the tournament. We've seen 13 seeds go into games against 4 seeds and knock them off before. It's not something that is uncommon. For whatever reason, that matchup in the NCAA tournament, a 13 seed versus a 4 seed, we usually tend to see an upset there. And it was almost with High Point and Purdue yesterday. Because High Point came out, High Point had a game plan, they were ready to go, they were well coached, and they executed their game plan. The only problem was, I think Purdue was just a better team. Purdue was just a better team, and that was the difference in this game in favor of the Boilermakers. Again, 75-63, the final in that game. ACC, sorry we have to do it to you, but you were definitely the loser. It hasn't been a good year for the ACC in general. When it comes to basketball, it's definitely been a rough one. But you take a look at it, what did they get? 4 teams into the tournament. So Duke, North Carolina, Clemson, and Louisville were it for the ACC. Louisville gets owned by Creighton. We've already talked about that. Clemson gets upset and embarrassed by McNeese. And now you're left with UNC and Duke as your lone two teams in the tournament. And this is kind of why I didn't understand the everybody wanting to talk about the SEC yesterday. Right? Like, at the end of the day, when all the games were over, or even heading into this morning, everybody was like, well, we should talk about the SEC. Because the SEC is this, the SEC is that. Well, look at the SEC. They had this team lose. They had that team lose. And it's like, yeah, okay, they had some of these teams lose. Georgia lost, but Georgia was kind of in an even-seeded game. And we all know the history of Mike White as a head coach in the NCAA tournament. He is now 6-5 as a head coach in the NCAA tournament. He doesn't have a lot of success. I think he had one deep run with Florida, and that's where a majority of those six wins that he has in the tournament came from, was that one year where they got to, like, the Elite Eight. And then it just trailed off and just absolutely just tanked and went downhill from there for him. He does not have a good track record in the NCAA tournament. So, honestly, we shouldn't be surprised that Gonzaga beat Georgia. There are some other surprises from yesterday as far as SEC teams go. I think when you look at that Missouri game, Drake beating Missouri, that's definitely a surprise right there. So that's maybe one that the SEC would like to forget. But also at the same time, you know, you've got dominant wins by Auburn. You've got dominant wins by Tennessee. Like I said, you're expecting Ole Miss, Alabama, and Florida to play today. Ole Miss is taking on UNC, so that's a great opportunity right there for the SEC to kind of replant their flag as being that dominant team. Lots of people are doubting them right now. They're going to have that opportunity at replanting that flag. But I just didn't understand why everybody was seemingly saying that the SEC was overrated or whatever it may be just because a couple of the lower seed teams lost. When you look at the day that the ACC had, the ACC had two teams playing yesterday, and they'll have two teams playing today. They went 0-2. And outside of Duke, who will be taking on, they'll be taking on Mount St. Mary's, they should win that one easily. UNC, not so much against Ole Miss. That is going to be a good game. Now, if North Carolina comes out and shoots the ball like they did on Tuesday night, then I think North Carolina is going to be able to beat Ole Miss. But the thing for Ole Miss that they've got to pay attention to, the thing for North Carolina that they've got to pay attention to in this game is turning the ball over, right? We talked about Georgia. What was it, 13 turnovers leading to 25 points? That's exactly how Ole Miss likes to play. They're very opportunistic. They like to use their defense to set up their offense. They like to create turnovers, to create fast break opportunities and easy shot opportunities for their offense. That's how they like to play. So if Ole Miss is able to put UNC into some situations where they turn the where they turn the basketball over, then it's going to be a situation where Ole Miss is going to have a great opportunity at not only winning this game, but eliminating the third of the four ACC teams that are in the NCAA tournament. And like I said, the only reason Duke is going to advance is because they're taking on Mount St. Mary's. And look, Ronald was absolutely right earlier when he called and said that there was parity in the NCAA tournament because of NIL and transfer portal. There is parity, absolutely. He was 110% correct, but it still stands that Mount St. Mary's just does not have enough to go up against a team like Duke. They just don't. Mississippi State also going to be playing today for the SEC as well. They're going to be taking on Baylor, so a chance for them to really kind of right the ship from what was a rough day yesterday. But for the ACC, man, as bad as it was for the SEC, it was worse for the ACC for sure. Our final winner we're going to talk about before we head to break. How about Wisconsin avoiding deja vu? They lost last year in the Big Ten title game just like they did this year. And they went into the NCAA tournament against James Madison, who won the Sun Belt right here at Pensacola, at the Pensacola Bay Center for the Sun Belt basketball tournament. They actually, were eliminated by James Madison. JMU getting the win over Wisconsin last year, but they come out and take care of Montana 85-66. So they don't have to worry about that this year and kind of get that monkey off their back. and relax a little bit, right? And when you, if you think about it, if you are a team like Wisconsin and you lose to a, and this is no offense to JMU from the Sun Belt, we love our Sun Belt friends here at ESPN Pensacola. We look forward to spending that week with them in March each and every year. But JMU is not a Big Ten basketball team. There is a talent differential there. There is a size differential. There is a coaching differential. There are things there. But when you are a Wisconsin team and you lose to a team like a JMU, that creates a lot of pressure on you heading into the tournament that following year. And especially when you're going up against the 14 seed in Montana, right? Because each bracket has 16 seeds. So if you're taking on 14 seed, you're taking on a team down at the very bottom, right? That's a team you should beat. Last year, you were in that situation, and you lost. Again, another one of those situations where it was a double-digit seed knocking off one of the top-seeded teams in the NCAA tournament in that first opening day. So you had that pressure on you if you're Wisconsin heading into the round of 64 yesterday against the 14-seed Montana. You come out, you take care of business, 85-66. You get the win. Now you can... you can exhale a little bit, you can relax, and you can get ready and focus on who you're going to be taking on in the round of 32. There, for sure, there was a lot of stress on Wisconsin heading into this game, and they were able to right the ship and get back into the round of 32 this year for the NCAA tournament. We'll take our timeout, not our final timeout, but we will take a timeout. I almost said final timeout again. I'm not trying to get rid of you, don't worry. We're having fun today talking NCAA tournament. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, more of the glass half full right after this.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 till 2 on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
All sports, all the time.
It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola. 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9:42, now 9:43 here at ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full. I'm your host, Jordan Glass. You want to hop in on today's show, you definitely can do that, 850-623-1330. Again, that is 850-623-1330. Looking at some of the games that we are going to see today. As a matter of fact, some of the games that you're going to be able to hear today right here on ESPN Pensacola as we have Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament. And they did a great job with day one yesterday. Looking forward to an even better day two today. We're going to get it started. 11:15, Baylor and Mississippi State. You'll be able to hear that game right here on ESPN Pensacola. Following that at 2:15, we'll have Vandy taking on St. Mary's. At 6:10 tonight, we'll have Troy, who you saw in person win the Sun Belt Conference Tournament right here in Pensacola with the Sun Belt Conference Tournament just a couple of weeks ago at the Bay Center. They'll be taking on 3-seed Kentucky. So again, 14-seed taking on 3-seed. That's usually where we tend to see an upset. Could this be, Dylan texted in yesterday and asked, could we potentially see Troy knock off Kentucky? It'll be tough, but Troy could possibly do it with the way that they play, you know, the way that they played Arkansas State. If they can kind of harness that same energy, especially that last 10 minutes of the game, we've seen it already in this tournament that some of these teams keeping it a lot closer than a lot of people expected. If Troy can keep it close, they're going to have an opportunity against the Kentucky team that, you know, Kentucky kind of been like Arkansas this year. It's been very streaky for the Wildcats this year, just like it has been for the Razorbacks. It's kind of funny because Coach Cal left Kentucky to go to Arkansas, so they've been having the kind of similar type season. But you can hear that game 6:10 tonight right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, our nightcap will be Liberty taking on Oregon. That should be a great matchup as well. And, again, that is the Westwood One coverage of the NCAA tournament right here in partnership with us at ESPN Pensacola. So you can definitely tune in for all of those games. Mississippi State and Baylor. I've said it before with Mississippi State, and I'm going to continue to say it, whether they lose today or they keep winning. If they keep winning, you're going to continue to hear me say it. When they knock down shots, they can hang in with just about anybody and have a chance at beating just about anybody. So that is definitely going to be crucial for them today. It is expected to be a close game. Vegas has this as a 1.5-point line in favor of the Bulldogs. And like I said, if Mississippi State can hit shots, they're going to have a great opportunity to win today. That's all they have to do. Hit shots. Find the bottom of the net. Don't go cold halfway through the game. Get hot, stay hot, be consistent. If Mississippi State can do that, they should have no problem beating Baylor in this first game for today. And again, that tips off about an hour and 30 minutes from now at 11:15. How about Robert Morris, the 15 seed, taking on Bama, the 2 seed? This shouldn't be close. This should be one of those Houston-type final scores where they win by 30 or 40. Right now, as a matter of fact, the line by Vegas is at 22.5. You can round that up to 23 if you want to. So definitely not even a close game expected. Again, Alabama just too good. Alabama just really, really good. And it wouldn't be surprised if Alabama doesn't make a deep run into this NCAA tournament. I mean, we're talking Elite Eight, maybe even Final Four. I mean, I'm looking at the bracket that they're on. Yes, they'll have to take on Duke in the Elite Eight more than likely to advance on. And that'd be a tough game for them. But I think Duke and Florida are very equal and even teams. And I think Alabama has got the staying strength to kind of keep up. I know the last couple of games for Florida and Alabama, Florida did beat them by double digits in the SEC tournament. But in that game in Tuscaloosa, let's not forget, Florida was running away with that game, and Alabama kind of put their foot down at home and turned things around and actually almost battled back in that game and gave them an opportunity to win it late in the second half, but just could not get it done. So Alabama is a very good team. Don't be surprised if they don't match up very well against a potential matchup against Duke in the Elite Eight to get into the Final Four. So expect a deep run from Alabama, especially when you look at the side that they're on. Yes, it's tough. You got teams like us, you know, you've got some other teams in here. Arizona's in there. Obviously, like I said, I've already mentioned Duke, Wisconsin at 3, Arizona at 4, Oregon at 5. But I think when you look at the side that Alabama's on, Wisconsin coming out of this game against Montana, and they will advance on today. Alabama, if they can take care of business against Robert Morris, they will advance and take on the winner of St. Mary's and Vandy. And that game, I believe, will be coming up. We'll have that one for you at 2:15, so you'll be able to listen to that St. Mary's and Vandy game for sure. That's a 7 seed taking on a 10 seed. But, yeah, Bama, Robert Morris, that should be one of those that have halftime. You probably can switch over and watch another game. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Running through some of these other games, Memphis, a 5 seed, going to be taking on Colorado State. Colorado State, actually, despite being the 12th seed, is favored by 1.5 points in this game. Memphis took care of business against UAB in the AAC championship game a week ago. But actually, not even a week ago. It was on Sunday. But this Memphis team, it's going to be very interesting to see how far they can go. Because once they get done with this game, if they beat Colorado State today, they're going to have to take on it looks like Maryland Grand Canyon. And, of course, that game for you will be coming up later on today as well at 3:35. So we'll see what plays out there. But Memphis is going to have their hands full in this first game for them in the round of 64 against a very good Colorado State team. Duke, we've already talked about them. They're kind of in the same boat with Alabama. They should have no problem today with Mount St. Mary's. Vandy and St. Mary's, that's going to be a good matchup as well. And, of course, like I said, the winner of that game will take on more than likely Alabama in the round of 32. What I think is probably going to be the game of the day, North Carolina and Ole Miss. Like I said, if Ole Miss can force North Carolina to turn the ball over, they are going to have a great opportunity at winning this game and sending the Tar Heels home and leaving it to where there's only one ACC representative left. Of course, that'll be a very good representative in the Duke Blue Devils. Florida taking on Norfolk State. Florida favored by almost 30. Should not have an issue here. If Florida has an issue here, it's simply because they've had to sit out the last couple of days. But I'm going to tell you, from everything I've heard from Todd Golden, everything I've heard from the players in Gainesville, they are focused. They are locked in. They are ready to go. And I really expect the Gators to kind of start this round of 64 off with a statement win against Norfolk State. We'll have Troy and Kentucky. Kentucky only favored by 11.5 in this game. I really do think if Troy can keep this game close, if they can find a way, much like we saw High Point be a thorn in the side of Purdue yesterday, if Troy can be that same type of thorn in the side of Kentucky. They've got better talent than High Point. They're a better team than High Point, in my opinion. I think they could actually give High Point a challenge and probably even beat High Point in a head-to-head. So Troy, if they can keep it close and be that type of thorn in the side of Kentucky, like High Point was to Purdue yesterday, I think Troy actually gives himself a chance to actually win this game late in the second half. Some of these other matchups, Oklahoma taking on UConn. The winner of that game will more than likely take on Florida, and that is going to be a great game right there. UConn currently favored by 5.5, so tough start to the NCAA tournament for the reigning two-time NCAA back-to-back champions there in the UConn Huskies, as they are going to continue to try that run or continue to keep that run going. But it's going to be a tough road for them starting today against a sneaky good Oklahoma team. Watch out for this game. You got two teams, Oklahoma 20-13, UConn 23-10. Oklahoma did really well out of conference. It was in conference play for the SEC is where they foundered and kind of fell down and you know, kind of struggled throughout the season. Once they were in, you know, conference play, that's when you started to see Oklahoma kind of get humbled a little bit. Out of conference play, they looked pretty good. So That is always a stat and a metric to look at whenever you're picking these brackets. Always looking to see how these teams do outside of their conference play. Because obviously, chances are they're not going to be playing inside their conference in the NCAA tournament. So if you have a team that's played really well inside their conference, but maybe not so well outside their conference, that may not bode well for them in the NCAA tournament. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on there. Always check that metric whenever you're filling out your bracket, how they did in the out-of-conference play. And Oklahoma, pretty solid out-of-conference. So it'll be fun to match up against UConn, and that should be a great game as well. But again, I think Ole Miss, UNC, definitely going to be end up being the game of the afternoon for sure. Let's take what is our final timeout. When we come back, we will wrap up your headline roundups and the glass half full right after this.
Catch all of Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament on ESPN Pensacola. Now through April 7th, when the champion will be crowned in San Antonio. The NCAA tournament is presented by Shrimp Basket, Emerald Coast Coins, Bamboo Willies on Pensacola Beach, Hall's Hardware, Florida's Finest Structures, and Buggy Works on ESPN Pensacola. 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Where the champions play.
Clinton Yates and a rotating group of guests give unique insights and perspectives on sports. It's Clinton and Friends, 10 until Rich Eisen on ESPN Pensacola.
It's the glass half full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
9:56 here on the glass half full. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. As we close out today's show, as we always do, it's time to take a look at some of the top headlines in the world of sports with today's headline roundup. Bronny having his best game with the Lakers, his season-high 17 points. Unfortunately, the Lakers did come out short in this game. They fell in the matchup, but Bronny, again, you got to tip your cap. Looks like kind of maybe he's starting to move things in the right direction here. As like I said, 17 points in that 118-89 loss to Milwaukee last night. Steph Curry exits the game with a pelvic injury. That's not good for Golden State as they are looking to continue to stay hot and make a push for the playoffs. They did beat Toronto 117-114, so kind of a glass half full, half empty type deal here, which. It might be a segment we start doing from now on the show, a glass half full, half empty, where we look at a situation that has a good and a bad situation happening all in the same time. So good situation, glass half full. Golden State gets the win 117-114 over Toronto. Glass half empty. Steph Curry leaves the game with a pelvic injury, so we'll see just how bad that is going to be there. Ovechkin, Nets number 888 goal. He helps the Caps clinch a playoff berth with that goal. And, of course, still working and making those donations, donating the dollar amount of whatever goal he makes to help fight childhood cancer. So he is going to be now donating $888 to a couple of different cancer foundations that the NHL is a part of. And that means he is just a few shy of getting to Gretzky's 894 mark. So that is, he's had that for quite some time. And Alex Ovechkin looks like he's going to be pushing that boundary there. Obviously, he'll be able to continue to push on through this year. And, Ovechkin's got another few years in him. So chances are he'll not only tie but break this record more than likely. It's just going to be a matter of when. But he's already at 888. He's got to get to 894. So what is he, six away from tying, seven away from breaking it? So that is definitely some news worth keeping an eye on there. Even if you're a moderate hockey fan, keep an eye on the Capitals, right? Alex Ovechkin continuing to do that. That is definitely going to be a big news once that record is broken for sure. A couple of NCAA tournament stunners that we've already talked about on today's show, just kind of going back and reminding you. It does look like that Drake took care of Missouri. And, of course, we had another one in McNeese. The big win for them over Clemson. They will advance on to the round of 32. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning into The Glass Half Full. I've been Jordan Glass. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy all the action from the NCAA tournament. You better believe we'll have all the up-to-date coverage of it coming up Monday right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Clinton and Friends coming up next.